Anyone who lines up for this race, respect.
Just mad respect.
Anyone who takes that first step in this race, respect. Whether you take them all the steps or you don't make a cutoff, respect. I mean, this race is a beast. And I think the sense of accomplishment that you get at the end, because the level of difficulty is so high, is such that, you know, it's like, it really is kind of like a shared experience. Like, everyone did the same course. Everyone went to Swarmon Mecca. You know, the vibe was so great.
You know how that really came through to me was you would have teams finish and then they would immediately, you know, get the hugs and do the high fives. And they're like, hold on. And then they would turn around and wait in the finishing chute for the other two or three teams that they all day had kind of been back and forth.
Yeah.
And high fives, whether they didn't even speak the same language as you, or they were in the men's category and you're mixed and women's or whatever, like, everyone was like, we did it.
This race, you know, really reminds me of like why I love the sport. I kept telling Stefan, I was like, I'm probably going to tell you this like 1,000 times, but you know, it's been so cool to like watch this.
It really was.
And you know, for the whole team to invite us was really, really special.
It was,
you know,
yeah,
it reminds me, it's like, but I was, if I had forgotten, I've remembered.
I have remembered. Same. I was like, oh yeah, this race is no fucking joke. Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a Swarm Run podcast. I'm Chip.
I'm Chris. It's episode 296 of the show. We are here to share from a hotel room at Arlanda Airport in beautiful Stockholm, Sweden. Our 2025 race recap for Attila, the Swarm Run World Championship. Now, you might be wondering, why are we here?
I didn't know you guys were racing this year.
We are not.
We're not. We didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, about a month ago, the Attila team reached out to us and wanted to know if we would be willing to come out and cover the World Championship live on Facebook and do some programming before the race briefing on Enduro Nesset. And probably the quickest yes that I think we've been able to come to is like,
yeah,
absolutely, we 100% want to do this, but let's figure out, can we make it work from a travel and a work situation?
Yes.
But we were definitely in.
In theory, it was definitely like automatic yes. In reality, it's like, oh, we got wives and kids, or kids just started school again, so we had to really kind of plan it out. But to think that we'd be in Stockholm, Sweden 3 out of the last 4 years was not something we had on our bingo card. Which is a good little segue. You know, we have some questions for everyone who's watching this. If you watched the World Championship and you did use our Attila guide to the Swarm World Championship, if you did the bingo card, if you got bingo, let us know. We got some swag for you, some stickers and whatnot. So hit us up in the DMs if you actually managed to get bingo. It was really great to be back. Again, as Chipper mentioned, you know, Attila asked us to come out and do some programming and kind of put our own spin on things. And we certainly did that. I'll tell you, I was a little nervous and, you know, my wife, God bless her, she was like, this isn't a test and they're asking you to come out to be yourselves. So you should do that. So I kept thinking about that. It's like, all right, they're not asking us to be journalists or reporters.
They wanted CNN type things. They could have
came
the wrong place. That ain't us. But yeah, I mean, I know we both, I'll speak for you here. It was certainly an honor to be even considered for this, let alone for them to ask and put the support and the resources and the teams behind us that they did was really cool. And yeah, we were more than happy to come out once we kind of got the final approvals and to come out. We knew we really had to make it to be a short trip, but our real sort of work out there was Monday, the World Championship there.
Yeah, so we'll share a recap about how the race unfolded, key performances we saw, all the U.S. teams that showed up. This race really gives so many amazing stories of endurance and resiliency and perseverance, which is, it's just, you know,
countless.
Why it's so magical. And to see it from this perspective, Chipper, I wasn't sure. I thought it was going to be a lot of FOMO. There was certainly some FOMO, but it was a super hard race. And just witnessing it reminds you how difficult, how high the level of difficulty is for this race. But I would say probably had like maybe 40% FOMO. And the rest was just like really cool to be on the boat in the archipelago and kind of see the athletes do their thing and try the aid station hot dogs without wondering whether it's going to upset my stomach because I don't have like 40 Ks left to go and stuff.
Yeah, not totally blasted to begin with. But I mean, we can get a little bit on kind of getting over there, what that looked like and everything. But we left San Francisco SFO on Friday at 7 a.m. full day of travel plus the time change, we arrived in Stockholm 7 a.m. on Saturday. So a whole day, gone from a travel perspective. Mm-hmm. And then we had a few hours to kill before we actually went out to Durneset on Saturday afternoon. And that's kind of when we initially became integrated with the Ötula team.
Yeah, but before that, you know, we can't come to Sweden without having multiple FIKAs.
Chipper
and I are always training for the FIKA World Championships, and this year that was the only race we had going on, so I would give ourselves high marks. So, you know, right off, as soon as we got into Stockholm, like immediate FIKA, and we also had a meetup where we let a bunch of people know that we were going to be in town. We set up at our unofficial sponsor, Vetekaten, in downtown Stockholm, and yeah, it's always, you know, we're always super humbled when people show up, but we had Swedes, we had Americans, we had all sorts of folks.
Their families,
Canadians.
It was awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we literally came from the airport and went right to the FIKA. We were going to get a FIKA anyway, but, you know, it was nice to have that one. And again, I think we always are still surprised, like, hey, that even like two or three people showed up, let alone we dropped lots of content coming out of the Low Tide Boys
for sure
feeds this weekend. But yeah, I mean, we took over kind of the whole section area. I would probably say we had
20, 25
plus people going there. Fast ramp on the, we had like a couple Carlon bombs straight away.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of plans there because we knew we were going to be super jet lagged, so we were trying to do whatever we can to stay awake. I had a big old coffee, which I never have.
I couldn't.
Then had a beer with lunch. I mean, I was all messed up.
Your caffeine intake this trip is the most caffeine I've seen you take. I was quite proud of you, I will say.
Hey, you know, it's show business. You got to do what you have to do. Even on the way over, I tried this, what I'm calling the truck driver diet, where every time I felt sleepy, I just ate food. Try to stay awake as long as possible. That seemed to work. Probably not so good for my health, but managed to.
Well, we can run that off next week. Yeah, but I mean, we knew it was going to be a really tight turnaround on that. And we're kind of trying to optimize, like reducing as much jet lag as possible, since literally the next day we would have to be working. We had a pre-show program that we were running as well. But, you know, I think arriving at Durneset, I know we both felt this way when we got there. We like pulled up and it was like, oh man, I'm kind of nervous. Like how everyone, when you first arrive there, if you have done the world championship, you kind of know the nerves heading out there. And once you get there, all the athletes and it's just the energy and
we're
feeling that.
I don't know how else to describe it other than like the shit's getting real kind of feeling.
And that's, I mean, that is what it is.
And so we check in, you know, and it's like the same small type of rooms and stuff. But then we did something that we've never done when we've been there on the previous two occasions. Yeah. We actually checked out the sauna and spa.
It is actually, it's a proper spa.
Like indoor 25 meter lap pool with a bar and at a fireplace, multiple saunas, outdoor hot tub that's like the size of a pool with like, it was like a
infinity
pool stuff. It was lovely. So.
It's quite romantic. There was couples there, and then me and Chris swim up and start talking swim running.
Yeah, so it was actually pretty cool to be there early. And actually, I think if and when we go back, I think it'd be cool to go back a day early, just to kind of settle in and like, you know, just chill.
Yeah, absolutely.
But pretty quickly we show up. We have a sort of a dinner with the Ötula team. They're all super nice and welcoming, and really we really felt like part of the team. We knew we were there as a sort of like talent, but everyone was super welcoming.
And
yeah, exactly. So we had a great dinner and sort of planning for what we were going to do the next day, which is when all the athletes show up. We did a 1 hour program before the official race briefing, just kind of bring the temperature down, try to ease people's anxieties. We had a panel. We talked about gear. We talked with former world champions.
First time tips, how mental preparation, how everyone's kind of thinking about it. And this is feedback directly that Ötula shared with us, is that, hey, everyone's nervous enough when they get here. They know it's going to be a big day. How can they kind of make it a little bit more casual? You can't turn off that anxiety feeling and that, but how can you kind of not play it up and get that pressure cooker going? And that's kind of what we were trying to be. It wasn't a mandatory event that people had to attend, but it was really awesome when it was happening and we were up there like looking out and seeing familiar faces and unfamiliar faces out there, people coming in and you know, listening to the programming that we had.
Yeah, and I think that went really well. And then that led right into the race briefing, which Ötula wanted to make it like a little bit tighter, a little bit more of a race briefing, less of a like a show where they're trying to like pump people up and things like that. It's like, I guess that was our job to pump people up a little bit. And that was always really cool. And that's probably where I felt the least FOMO, because every year we did that race, you know, that reefing is like, oh, it's real now. Now yeah. I'm not going to sleep.
And they started the same way, that it's like, boom, kill the lights. And then like some awesome, highly produced, amazingly edited hype film that's like, and you just feel like your anxiety just like ratcheting up. And I, at that point, yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be exciting tomorrow. I was like, I think we're going to sleep fine, you know?
Yeah, we actually slept pretty well that night. I've never slept the night before at Tala. And this was certainly a first for me. In the morning of the race, let's take a step back. Our plan was to try to cover the live race using Atala's Facebook Live on their platform. So, you know, there were some constraints to that. We couldn't be live at the same time. We couldn't share screens, couldn't do stuff like that. So our plan was to try to, we were going to split up. I was going to be with the lead boat. And the way we figured that out is we kept going back and forth, like, oh, whatever you want to do, I'm fine, whatever. We ended up just like flipping a coin just to figure out what it was going to be. So I ended up being with the lead boat, which was really fun to be with Stefan, Dominic, Yena, who are, you know, just kind of like race directing while doing media as well. So it was pretty cool to follow the lead race. And then Chipper was with the other media boat that was more of like CAC, bringing the human interest stories, hanging out at aid stations, getting more of sort of like the every, you know, the non, you know, non-lead content.
Everything but the kind of the pointy end of the race there. And that was a really awesome experience at the dinner. What was cool, again, you know, we've done races, we've been doing endurance events. We know behind the scenes lots of things are happening that athletes are probably not privy to. One thing that stood out to me was how in it the behind the scenes team is, how extensive it is, how serious these people take things to make sure that they are making the best product, an event product here being the world championship event that they can. These people are pros.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that was really impressive.
And I think a great example of that. So for the first time in the 20-year history of this race and the 19th running of this race, there was fog on the radar, and, you know, nothing kills a swimmer more than fog, because if you can't see where you're swimming, that's just, you know, you're swimming off to Finland or who knows what. So you could see how stressed out the Atala crew was and the contingency plans. This one guy, Mikel, who's on like sort of the race logistics team, like he was checking his phone like every 5 minutes to see or whatever. Like that dude was stressed. I was like, I don't know you, dude, but I'm just going to give you a little shoulder massage or something, like help you out here.
He was stressing.
I mean, Safon, everyone was. Everyone was like, so they had an awesome contingency plan that they shared with everyone, which I thought was great, you know, just to make sure. So let's just be open and transparent about the realities of this thing.
And our plan, the way we kind of head went through it as well, like we had the course map and we're like, honestly, it's really hard. How do you plan for a live,
you know,
it ended up being a 14-hour day for us. How do you plan what that looks like? Oh, Chip's going to be here at this time. Like, you honestly can't do it because you got to really go with the flow and be in the zone kind of for that. So what Chris and I were really focused on is like, how can we give you kind of the best hour, like from a little bit before the race start to the actual start to kind of that first swim entrance and exit there.
That was like the one thing that we felt like we could script, because the rest, it's like it scripts itself as the race unfolds. So the first hour, we know at least most of the teams are going to be together. Everyone starts at the same time, so at least you know what's happening there. So even from there, our plan was that I would follow the lead. We'd have to be following the lead athletes because we had to be there for the finish line when they finish and kind of follow that part of the race. And then Chipper would be in the other media boat, kind of capturing, as we mentioned, sort of the human interest, like get more of like chatting with people. Like not a lot of folks were chatting with me when I was when they were racing. They were really in the zone. So it made for an interesting dynamic where I felt like it was going to be interesting to try to like how we were going to cover that. As you mentioned, like the first hour seemed, that was the thing that we felt we could script the most. Yeah. And the rest, we just had to kind of think on our feet. And Atala was really great about this. I will say, you know, that race morning, we took the ferry with everyone. And that, I was legit nervous. I was like, oh man, like all these racers here. Like it was
intense. I mean, I was getting nervous as well. What I think that's good. And I know it's either like Brad Stahlberg or Steve Magnus. If you're nervous, it just means you care a lot. And we certainly care about...
Yeah, we want to do a good job.
We want to do a good job. And we know we've been on the other end. We've been the consumer of this type of product that we're trying to bring out to you. And we know how important it is to see your loved ones come through or like who's winning the race or get some really cool footage. So we really wanted to do the best that we could and, you know, do it our way, but not miss any of the cool points or the cool stories or swim runners coming throughout. So
for sure. And not to bury the lead, there was no fog. It was an amazing day. In fact, it was one of the strangest days out there in that there was zero wind and almost no current. So a little foreshadowing for some stuff later. So it was ended up being a really fast day, overcast most of the day. So, you know, the race started promptly on time, which was great. So Chipper was at the start. We did a little thing at the beginning, and then I ran to swim one entrance at the end of Sanham.
Yeah.
And that was a thing. So I had a dream the night before that I got lost.
That would not be good.
On Sanham.
And I was you told me. You couldn't make it to the beach.
You know, totally mixed up. So that morning I basically downloaded like the route, the world championship route from when I did it 2 years ago, just to make sure I can get to the end of the thing. And of course it was like super obvious once I did it, but it's like when we were doing it, I was like, I really, you know, you're so kind of in your own head. Right?
Yeah, you're just
it's like running through town and then you end up on the beach somehow. So I end up on the beach, Chipper's recording live, and then get everyone going in the water and immediately run to get on the media boat so we can get on the on the race director boat so we can get on the other side of this and capture some of that footage. And from there, I basically didn't see you for 9-10 hours.
I don't like that, first of all. And we don't do any swim runs where we're not seeing each other for the entire time. But yeah, from like a quarter behind the scenes on what it looked like and the support that Tilda provided us, or that we were like involved with, I guess it wasn't just exclusively for us, but we each had our own boat and we each had our, you know, Tilda's multiple social media working.
Yeah, kind of like handlers, because they had their own media plan and we were going to complement that with the live footage. And, you know, but they were taking, you know, if you were in any part of the swim run internet universe yesterday, you know, at the time of race, you were getting bombarded with footage, whether it was reels, stories, Facebook Live, all sorts of stuff. So there was just a lot of
content. It was going out everywhere.
There was like separate film crews out there. Some really funny stories there, as we'll share in a minute. And it was just like, I mean, it felt like a world championship. And we were trying to cover it in such a way to give really people a flavor what it was like. So not just like reporting on what I was
doing. Who's leading the race or what position. Yeah.
But it was like, this is why this is so sketchy. Check out this trail. Look how crazy it is. This is what people have to do. Just giving people a flavor for aid station food. You know, look how what's available.
Sorry.
And sorry, bad one. The race was really interesting to watch. Chipper, when you also got on a boat right after that first swim, you actually got off on the first island.
So the kind of thought was that I would actually be catching the whole race on that first island exit, which is, you know, where the most action and potential carnage is going to be in terms of slipping and just excitement and action in general and drama. And then Chris, you actually had you were kind of posted up on the side to get like that really cool shot of that, you know, we've seen in the videos of them traversing the rocks. The boat took us out there and we were, we were separated almost right away. And then I got out there and I'm like looking at these rocks. And if we talked about this after, you know, the race is hard. I remember that it's hard and it's a hell of a day, but
seeing
it again, it's like, this is like, you know, it got moved from a 10 out of 10 to like an 8 out of 10 in my mind. But now being there again, it's like, okay, back at a 10 out of 10.
It was really interesting how you almost like, it's like anything. You kind of forget the pain of it.
And
you know, sort of like, what is it? Confirmation bias. Like you always remember sort of the last experience kind of thing. And for us across from Michelin, this was great. It was awesome. Yeah. Seeing some of that early stuff was really cool. So Chipper was on the first island. The lead boat was repositioned to the start of the second island after the second swim. I saw the pros come out and then I had to jump on the boat right away to get repositioned because the leaders were going super fast. It's probably a good time to do a little side note on how fun it was to be on the boat with Stefan, Dominic, Yana. I mean, it was like, I was telling Chipper after, I was like, oh, Stefan and I, we hit it off. Like for someone who's race directing the most important swim run event on the calendar, he was super chill, eating candy, eating chocolate. He's like flying a drone while he's driving the boat. Talking to volunteers, like everything was like, oh, everyone made the cutoff, great. You know, it was just like his temperament was just so fun to be around on a day that, you know, for most race directors would be like, you know, they're shitting bricks basically.
Yeah, and it was very, super fun. I'm sure kind of very calming for everyone else.
Totally.
If you're
just
sort
of brought it down. You know, his knowledge of the archipelago, because I asked him, I was like, you know where you, it's like, is this like you basically your you know, the streets in your childhood neighborhood. Yeah. He was like, oh yeah, I know exactly where I am at all times. It was just like, it was pretty amazing to see, you know, sort of that deep knowledge. And basically, I mean, you only know that if you love this area, right? For the archipelago. Yeah. And yeah, so it was super fun to be on that boat.
It was, yeah. And my boat was really fun. We had on the boat driver out who we found out into the race has been helping with every edition of One Water Race. He certainly knew his
another
way.
Dude knows he's like the back
of
his hand.
Yeah, he knew where these were. And we would just be kind of like saying, what island do you want to go to? We had a couple other camera crews, someone with a proper camera and doing more Instagram kind of social media as well. So that was really cool to see the behind the scenes there. Cause you know, I'm also like, hey, could you teach me how to do some stuff?
These
I'm
cool
trying to make
so
these
quickly.
Cool movies and stuff too. Yeah. So yeah, that was really awesome, but got positioned up on kind of that first swim and just kind of, hey, I'm going to go in this little triangle area away from everybody and away from like the slipperiness. Cause what I didn't want to happen was me to crash and burn while recording live.
Yeah.
My phone into the Baltic Sea.
I mean, that's probably good content for the show, but
it would have been
but not for your ass.
Like, yes, it would have been good content for sure.
But, yeah, so basically, you know, we kept trying to switch off. You can go on live and getting repositioned. For me, it was a little bit tougher, I found, because, you know, the pros were really sort of gapping everyone else. So, like, the elites would come through and there'd be like a 20-minute gap. And I'd be like, well, back to you, Chipper, because it's like, you know, I'm kind of running out of stuff to discuss. Plus, we would have to get back on the boat and reposition. And there were certain parts, like, there's a famous island where there's like you have to take these ropes to descend to the water, and we were trying to get there in time to catch the leaders. By the time we got there, they were already in the water, so it's like, okay, I guess we'll skip that and we'll just keep going. So there was a lot of that, and I think, you know, I kept trying to watch Chipper on the live feed just to know, just to see kind
just
of what
to see
he was
what's
doing
going on,
so we could try to time it better when we were switching back.
Yeah, because the way we were like sharing a login essentially, so there was no real way for us. I think, you know, for us both to be on and kind of kick it back and forth and get some of that banter like, oh, Chris, what's going on there? And then he can throw it. Like, I think that would have been more ideal situation, but we did the best with
it. Like connected, you know, once, but then my video was upside down for some reason.
Yeah, out on these islands on LTE cell service, streaming, trying to stream high quality video. The demands were quite challenging, but I think we were able to bring good stuff. But
yeah,
it was really cool to kind of see and position ahead of the racers. So actually the first couple islands, I was able to see some of the lead pack as well, because Chris would have to go because the front of the pack's moving so quick. You can't just go cut them off for the next island. You got to jump off the boat, run to the spot, get the camera set up, get ready to go. And then, like you said, it's like, boom, 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 boom. It just rips past you.
I mean, there was a couple times where you were live and I was trying to like get you to go off. And then by the time you go off, it's like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, they just transitioned
all the way out of there.
Already.
But I will say, you know, what I really appreciated, Chipper, was like, not only were you, I thought, covering the race awesome, but like you got to interact with so many people, and like separately, you're like sending family members photos, like anyone who needed you, like you get a shot of like proof of life photos, like all sorts of stuff.
Here they are.
It was really like afterward, it was funny, this was a little more foreshadowed, but like after the race, we were sort of watching the videos because like he hadn't seen a lot of my videos. I'd seen a lot of his, and it was like kind of like reliving the race, which was super fun.
Yeah.
But
I found it to be, it was intense because we were up at, what was our alarm? 3:30? Like we were doing the race. We were on the race ferry and everything. So it was very intense to kind of try to get it right and get what we wanted to, you know, what we kind of had like thought in our head of how this would look like and how we wanted to do that to kind of get that out and make that happen. But yeah, you had one of my favorite ones. You was like, hey, this is Chris from Low Tide Boys. I'm on a boat. Your hair is like blowing. I was like, yeah, let's go.
Look, and I'm on a boat on
the
Stockholm.
And the sort of the access that we got, I mean, literally you would be in the water in a boat and there would be teams one to 2 meters away from you. And you're just like filming.
Yeah,
like,
it was like filming like a school of dolphins or something. And yeah, it's just really interesting to watch how it goes at the moving.
Front,
I mean, they're even like talking during the swims, which I was, you know, just a couple of French teams were just like chatting away like during the swim. I'm like, how do you even do this? And Chipper's probably like, We're not going to start
chat
during.
Yeah, I don't know if I can chat during the swim.
But yeah, so the way the race unfolded, as we mentioned earlier, you know, the weather was really, really mild.
Very favorable.
Very little current, very little wind. Typically, if the wind's going north to south, get a nice tailwind, can be quick, but you got currents. If the wind's going south to north, got a headwind, currents, and that's usually makes it for a slow day. but the teams were moving incredibly fast to the point where, you know, 3 hours into the race, Stefan and Dominic, they're like, oh, we got to be prepared early because, you know, we might be breaking course
record. Yeah, course record is definitely under threat. And sort of from the race that I was covering, what that meant is that, you know, we know time one, time two are pretty tight. And there were people at the race who were, who had gotten concerned about that. And so the favorable conditions was, you know, we would be at time two and they're like, this is the cutoff. And then we see someone come through and we're like, oh my God, they got 40 minutes of buffer or 20 minutes of buffer as opposed to like two minutes or something.
Well, I'll tell you, like on the lead boat, you know, when that first cutoff hit and, you know, Stefan's talking to like one of the volunteers who was driving the boat and I'm probably also flying a drone at the same time. He was like, everybody made the first cutoff and my boat, it was like,
we all cheered up. So I think how it went is that we would call your boat and Dom was like running the comms, Dominic was. And then so whatever was getting fed in your boat immediately was just like going right to ours. And so we were all pumped when we heard that as well and course record and things there. But I think throughout the day, I kept just the way that the timing went for, you know, like a 4 or 5 hour section was like, I kept seeing the same team. So like Andy and Mara, I saw so many times the twins, twin it to win it. Saw
Alan
several, a lot. Some female teams, Sarah and Hugh, just some people that are really great supporters of us that we're certainly cheering on their adventure. Yeah. And to see them, I probably saw Andy and Mara 6 or 8 times.
Yeah, I mean, you were basically like
I was like their personal photographer.
It felt like you're like a documentary
for a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, it was really cool to see, especially the photos afterwards. Like, I'm like, how is Chipper also texting and like letting you know. He's like texting me like our usual side banter. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm like trying to be pro.
We'd be like, hey, we're relocating and we would kind of get different places. But I think from my day, it really fueled me seeing these people and seeing them beat the cutoffs that I knew they were really stressed about.
It's like people really appreciated seeing you because you were just like pumping everyone up. Like if people saw you, they're like, you know, you weren't like, oh, good job out there. No, you were like, let's fucking
I kept a PG, I think, on the feed. I might have dropped one F-bomb, maybe, but, you know, I try my best. But, yeah, I would, you know, we would get at aid stations, and I was also, we were kind of mingling a little bit with some of the spectator boats, so we were seeing, hey, I know this is the team twin it to win it's, like, wives that are here, and I know this is Sarah's husband and kids and everything, so we were being able to talk and kind of interact with them throughout the race, and that part was really cool. And then I think once the hours, kind of similar to how when the race unfolds, the hours kind of just keep ticking on. And, you know, before you know it, the comms that we were getting is like, hey, Chipper, we need the live feed because it's a one screen thing because we have the lead teams coming in and we really need that for...
Yeah, so I think we did the best we could given sort of the technological restrictions we had. But I think what was really interesting was as the race unfolded, just to give you a little bit of a race recap, on the men's side, it was really like 4 teams and then 3 teams and then 2 teams.
Started kind of getting whittled.
Started really close. Away. And ultimately, it was Adriel Young and Hugo Tormento who teamed up after doing one water race. Incidentally, 10 days ago, you know, Adriel won one water race, which is insane to be able to do this. If you don't know what that is, Google it, 250-kilometer swim run with 50 Ks of swimming, you know, sprinkled in.
60 hours or something.
Three days. Orienteering as well. So they had an awesome race, and right on their feet was this team called the Kebab League, this French team that they've been, you know, super really fast runners. They won Engadin. They were, you know, positioned really well.
Blasted onto the swim run scene of recent
and they
years.
Were like on their feet, and seeing that race unfold was really, really cool. And the mix side, the mix was super competitive. The favorites going in was our friend David Pesquet and Ulrika Eriksson, you know, just stud athletes. And they were leading early on, but there was some jockeying back and forth. And we'd see them later, and they were like in third, and then they were in second.
Really, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to watch. And the women's, Sabina Rapelli and Anna Hellström just dominated all day. I think they won by like over an hour. They were just in a league of their
career. They dropped the hammer for sure.
Set and a course record by
and
like
then
10
the,
minutes.
The second place women's team, I think this was their second swim run ever or
came
third
out of nowhere.
Never had done an Utala brand race before. Come out, boom, winning second in the women's world championship.
It was
just an awesome
It was impressive. You know, a theme for the day was, you know, the French have arrived. It's just the first time in the history of the race where there are more French teams or more teams from another country other than Sweden.
Yep.
And France, I mean, their swim run development program is obviously working.
Because, highly effective. You know,
many spots on the podium. It was great. Like, so much support. Like, a lot of teams had their own boats following them around. It was really cool to see, like, you know, usually it's heya, heya, like, you know, go, go, go. Yeah, but it was also
LA.
which was really fun. I think one funny story was Channel 4, which is sort of the big Sweden, you know, like the Swedish ABC or something. They had a camera crew, and this camera person, this lady, basically gets on our boat, and we're sort of hanging out with her for a while.
Yeah.
Then at some point, we just like leave her on some island.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was an island. I don't remember which one. I think it was like Munkha or something. And, you know, we're backing away, and she's like still on the rocks. And I was like, wait, we're leaving her? They're like, oh, yeah, no, she's going to get picked up later. And it was just, like, the weirdest thing. It's like, we pick her up for a while, just, like, drop her off somewhere else. I saw her at the finish. I'm like, yeah.
I'm glad you made it.
It's like, this happens all the time. It was really, really funny. The front teams were moving really quickly. So pretty quickly, we were moving to the pig swim. And when we kind of turned the corner and got there, everyone on my boat was like, it looks like the pig swim.
But it's not.
But it doesn't look like the pig swim because the conditions were so flat. It was glass. It was like swimming in a pool. We started calling it the piglet swim because it was so still, so calm. I remember as soon as we saw that, I texted Chipper. I'm like, Chipper, tell all of our people the pig swim is chill, because that's, you know, that's one of the most challenging features. The first couple islands is a challenge. Navigating your nutrition over the first six islands is a challenge. Then the pig swim, that's one of the big, you know, like if you're playing like Super Nintendo or something, that's a mini boss.
Yeah, that's definitely a mini boss.
It's a mini boss. You know, Orna is you know, definitely sort of a level boss kind of thing.
The whole race is the big boss, I guess. Yeah,
exactly. Like the
you got to beat level. All the got to beat all the bosses and win the whole
for
thing.
Sure. But the pig swim was something like I'd never seen anything like it. We spoke to Lars afterwards and never seen anything like it. Dominic, Stefan, everyone on the boat was like, this is interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And that was certainly great intel, because the folks that I was coming, you know, as I saw them, as they kind of hopped along, I'm like, they're like, oh, the pig swim. I'm like, the pig swim, I hear it's going to be, it's still 1,400 meters.
Still a big swim.
It's still a long swim. The water still is, you know, a little bit on the colder side as it normally is in Sweden. But in terms of like,
yes, a you washing know, machine, it was not.
It was not. It was not a washing machine.
There's probably a pretty good chance it's a washing machine. I mean, even when we did it in 2022, which was considered a mild year, that swim was still, you know.
Yeah, so one spot that I was at was actually kind of on the exit of the pig swim. I was up on the rock, so I had a really cool vantage point down there. And, you know, because sometimes I would be kind of blacked out from going on when you had the feed over. So I was like, oh, I'm here. I have some charge left in my phone, so I'm going to just fire up the Low Tide Boys Instagram and just like do some live coverage from the Low Tide Boys to get more stuff out there. I was already out there, like, you know, so that's just what I did. But that was really cool to kind of bring that perspective. And, you know, there was people that I saw them when we would go on live, you kind of see who's joining. It was like, oh, they're here. And then like 30 minutes later, oh, they're on the Instagram, and people were going all over. I know Marcus Barton was taking over the Attila
USA
USA feed. Helene from Wild Swim Run,
she was covering the women's race.
She covers the women's race.
She was just following the women's team.
Amazing, amazing job. And like her dedication to the cause of women in swim run and wild swim run is unsurpassed. But it was really awesome seeing her in person. She's an amazing human, and Wild Swim Run is amazing. Be sure to check that out, of course. But hanging out with her, and she was cheering every single women's team. She was doing crazy good coverage on Instagram with everyone coming through and their times. So that was really awesome as well. I know the French podcasters as well were doing like a live
Lestant swim
stream. Lestant
swim run. There was a really funny moment at I was at the aid station of Run Morale, which is the first kind of real big energy station. Also the first place where you can kind of like actually run, waiting for the elites to come through. And he's running a live stream, so we have this moment where we're like, you know, kind of like crossing swords.
Like the Spider-Man.
Hey, how's it going? It was just really great to see him out there. Like, he was on a boat supporting everyone, but certainly following sort of the French racers out there. And, I mean, it was a really interesting day to race. as I mentioned earlier, you know, the level of difficulty, you can almost forget how challenging.
Yeah.
There was one island where I went live and we're kind of, it was like, I don't know, Munko, and we knew the elites were coming. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to run to the aid station, give people a little bit of a flavor. And I was like, man, it was like half a kilometer. Yeah. It was like hard as hell.
Yeah. I broke a sweat out.
I don't even remember this section of the race. I like blacked it out.
They're like, oh, we're going to Nemda aid station. I'm like, okay, we pull up and I walk up and I'm like, I don't think I've ever been here before.
And well, they're like, what? You pulled up from the boat.
Yes, so. It came up from the opposite. And I'm like, this doesn't seem familiar. And then I like kind of got ready and I walked out and I turned around and I was like, oh, yes, I remember it from this angle. Like
and then you see the hot dogs.
And then I saw the hot dogs and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and that aid station, you know, I was just, you know, Stefan and I were kind of hitting it off all day. And, you know, they have a bunch of interesting food. They have these hot dogs with ketchup and mustard if you want. They have this like something, which I was like, who's eating this? But it was like flatbread with butter, cheese, and pickles.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to Stefan, it's like, who's eating this? He's like, I'm eating it. And I go to you, Chipper, you're like, it was great. I asked Alila for the recipe. And it was just the most random thing.
It's like just a simple, good cheese. One, I love cheese and I love pickles and the butter is sweet and they know what they're doing over here with the butter. So it was just good. So I'm going to make some of those sandwiches when I get home for sure.
Butter in Swedish is a s'more.
I probably gave a little bit too much airtime to the sandwiches. But, you know, it is what it is. And that's part of what, again, they hired us to be the low tempers. And, you know, that's what we're about.
I even had a Twix. I didn't get a chance to get a Twix.
Yeah, they had the proper Twix bars in the package with both right and left side on there. So that was cool.
Yeah, but it was a super cool race to watch. And, you know, at one point, you know, I had to get positioned to the finish line.
Because, you did. You had to get your ass over there.
It was quick. So no world records were broken in the men's and mixed, only in the women's. But
by 10, 12 minutes, I think, on the course.
Yeah, where the race really unfolded was on the island of Orna, as it does. Now, if you're not familiar
for
with
the
this,
elites,
this is like 2/3 through the race. You have about an 11-mile run that you think is like, oh, I'm a good runner, it'll be fine. But you've already done, you know, a lot of swimming business, a lot of swim
50
running
Ks,
business,
50, at least.
Basically 50 Ks of swim running business or 45 Ks of swim running business. We were positioned at the church and that's where I was able to really see, okay, you know, Hugo and Adriel were basically setting the pace and the Kebab League, they were being very, very conservative, just staying on their feet. You could tell
very
their effort
tactical.
Level was pretty low. You know, I interviewed them after the race and Remy, he was saying, it's like, yeah, when Adriel put his swim cap on, I put mine on. You know, when you take his off,
I mean, Adriel knows what he's doing, so I don't blame him.
Which is really, again, for folks who had never done the world champs before, I think it's hard to win it on debut just because it presents a lot of difficulties. And they managed it in a way which I thought was excellent racecraft.
Yeah.
And then they saw the opportunity to make their move. You know, I spoke to Adriel afterwards, and he said that on Run Mara, which is sort of the first runnable island, like that's where he already started feeling like it was going to be a hard day.
Yeah.
And to think that they were in contention all the way. I mean, they came in second place by like 3 minutes past or something like that. It was just an amazing performance all around. And at the church, which is funny because we're pulling up and again, Stefan knows everywhere he's going. And I was like, is that the church? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, cool. He's like, why? I was like, I've never seen it from this angle.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the same as the aid station that I had earlier. And one thing that I was like, we're going to drop you off on the north or the south. And I'm like, oh, man, we got to go, you know, this many Ks. They're like, no, just walk through this path. I'm like, oh, okay. It's really easy when you can just drop right off.
Yeah. They don't make you go through the woods.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think you got to see a lot more of sort of the human interest stuff. But seeing the elites, for me, was like, damn. It's just impressive what people were able to do.
It was. And once you were on Utte and positioned there, you kind of had a stranglehold on the feed because we wanted to bring the live podium through and you did a great job. And this is what people were asking for. It's like, we need to talk to these people right after. And you had great interviews streamed live on Facebook, on the Utte account with the whole podium. So that was really... That was like content that I feel that people were like, this is what we're here for, is to get this type of thing. But after you were there, we, you know, and kind of the race were what I was covering after 3-4 hours really kind of starts to get spread apart. So you would maybe have 3 or 4 teams that come up to the aid station or to wherever would be posted up. And then there would be like nothing for 10 minutes. And then you'd have one or two teams come through where they're kind of dribble through. And it's, you know, it was already going to be a 14 plus hour day. So
yeah, batteries were dying, all sorts of stuff. So at some point you got repositioned to finish. I remember when we saw each other, we're like,
Like, these guys are
fucking
sick.
Clowns. But yeah, it was an amazing thing to witness from that perspective. And, you know, a big reminder as to, you know, what are the things that make the sport great. I mean, lately on the show, we've been talking a lot about, you know, why the team aspect is the coolest aspect and why we recommend it. Obviously, the World Championship is only a team race. And I think, like, it's really would only be fun if it was a team race. I mean, that doing the world champs by yourself, I mean, that just sounds like not interesting.
Yeah, I have a few highlights from the piece that I saw there. Seeing the folks that we know and love root for was awesome. One island I came to, and our friend Nargist, formerly Team Dark Wave, was sitting on a bench with the medical red dry robe on. I know she had been dealing with the injury, and I was like, oh man, it couldn't happen today. It wasn't her day type of thing. And I look, and her hand is like bandaged up, and there's like blood, and there's bloody napkins there on the ground. I'm like, oh man, something happened. And she's like, oh, I actually got 3 stitches. And I'm like, oh, you know, in my head, I'm like, her day's done. She's, and her partner's there, and she's kind of like shivering a little bit.
And if you don't remember who Nargis is, she's a person who did the 100K swim run where she swam around Manhattan, spent like 5 minutes changing, and then ran a 50K around Manhattan.
FK swim around and then a 50K run, FKT, I think. She is an absolute
beast
of an athlete. And I turn around to, I think I was like trying to, there were some Swedish peach rings or something that I was wanted to sample. And I turn around and Nargis is there with her hand all bandaged up, like pulling her wetsuit sleeve up. And I'm like, you're going out there? She's like, yeah, I'm going to try. I'm like, okay, let me help you with your sleeve. And like, she couldn't close her hand. She went out there and I mean, she did it. She finished, which was incredibly.
She had to stop in another aid station to get rebandaged because it got like soaked.
What a champ.
From all the swimming.
What a champ.
Yeah. Hardcore.
I think one thing. A highlight I know for us was really at that finish line and seeing those last teams come through and following them around, and especially again the teams that we mentioned earlier that we're cheering on, and we knew their journey to even get to this race, and we knew they were going to be challenged to complete it, but kind of running up the heartbreak hill with them and cheering them on, that is always kind of the thing that fills me up the most. Even when we are racing, I love that part of it too.
Yeah,
you know
when
what
we
these people
finish,
went
we'd,
through.
We'd wait because we'd want to cheer them on. Yeah, I mean, some really amazing stories. I mean, some of our friends, Sarrios, who was actually born in Fajardo, Puerto Rico. So she's the only female swim runner, I think, to compete in the World Championship. I don't have actual stats for that, but I think so. She raced with Vivian Emraz, who I raced with in Austin. So seeing them finish, and it was just like, you know, super heartwarming all around. And, you know, so many tales of resiliency, as we mentioned in the beginning, you know, just like raw endurance and just perseverance. I mean, this race really exposes you in a way that, you know, you can either lean into it or it'll chew you up and spit you out. And on this day, you know, very few DNFs, very few people missing cutoffs, and a lot of teams just like, you know,
getting it done.
We're not going to be denied. So even the final finishers, which I think, like, you know, my highlight was,
I agree. I'm with you on that.
Wanted to go live one last time for the final finisher. So we hear their come in and
14 hours and 3 minutes or 5 minutes or something.
It's like just incredible French team. Last team to come through, everyone's out, everyone's cheering, you know, because we're about to start the award ceremony.
Yeah, they hype it up on the mic. They're like, here comes the final team. They're by time 18 by the tennis courts. You know, it's just like around the corner. They're just around the corner. But getting out there and we were able to fire up the and go live again. And this is the first time that it was like, oh, Chris, you get in front of the camera there.
Yeah,
and we
like,
could like,
it's like, it's happening
record.
Right,
like, yeah, it's cool. And following them home and kind of, I mean, it wasn't me crossing the finish line, but like I was like so pumped for them because everyone was lining the side and cheering.
It was like we did it.
Yeah,
it definitely felt that way.
It was so
awesome. The camaraderie was awesome. Everyone was cheering, going crazy. Yeah, so we ended up wrapping up the live feed. Like Dominic came on, we're like, "That's it, Atanas in the post, baby."
It was such a, it was a very much an organic thing, but the way it happened was I felt it was really cool.
That was great.
I like literally ran across the line right behind them, like try to get a really good, you know, in my head, I'm like, what's this shot going to look like kind of thing. Spun around, you know, everyone's hugging, Stefan's there, everyone's there. And then like, we're in the finishing shoot and me and Chris are just there and we're like, yeah, we're done, you know, and Dominic comes in.
It was such a good ending.
It was like, whoop, like there's that cherry on the top of the deck.
Yeah, a great ending. My throat still hurts. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, how was the race for you? I was like, oh, you know, I'm injured over here. But
I mean, and people were like, oh, you guys must be tired. And I honestly felt very guilty. Like, hey, we were out there a long time. We were up early. We did do a lot of work, but we didn't do the race. So yeah, we couldn't really say
for sure.
Oh, I did, you know, I did get a little blister on my ankle because I didn't wear the right socks. So I did have a minor injury.
I was swimming kit from my ankles down.
I wore my Adidas shoes for sure.
I can't be slipping on this thing. Yeah, overall. I mean, it was.
And then kind of the same thing that normally happens after the race. Everyone's there and, you know, we'll walk two steps and someone will be like, oh, how's it going? And we're like, oh, we got to hear. And then really at the force, we're like, Chris, I haven't eaten lunch and it's like 5 o'clock at night. We need to go eat dinner. We would literally be eating or talking to somebody. And I look up and I'm like, oh, here comes so-and-so. Coach Ruben and Lloyd, who we had on the show after Catalina, like, hold on, we got to run. Go run, cheer them on as they come in. And that was happening throughout the night. It was just real awesome.
Yeah, it definitely felt like we were being like super cheerleaders because we were cheering.
Yeah, I mean, that's our job.
We mentioned it before. It's kind of dipping into final thoughts. Anyone who lines up for this race, respect.
Just mad respect.
Anyone who takes that first step in this race, respect. Whether you take them all the steps or you don't make a cutoff, respect. I mean, this race is a beast. And I think the sense of accomplishment that you get at the end, because the level of difficulty is so high, is such that, you know, it's like, it really is kind of like a shared experience. Like everyone did the same course. Everyone went to Swim Run Mecca, you know, and just kind of like, you know, the vibe was so great.
You know how that really came through to me was you would have teams finish and then they would immediately, you know, get the hugs and do the high fives and they're like, hold on. And then they would turn around and wait in the finishing chute for the other two or three teams that they all day had kind of been back and forth.
Yeah.
And high fives, and I know Diana and Tracy and Sarah, Excellent Adventure Redemption Tour, they like grabbed each other like, we did it. And they weren't even on the same team, but it's like everyone kind of was able to make it happen. And whether they didn't even speak the same language as you, or they were in the men's category and you're mixed in women's or whatever, like everyone was like, we did it. It is like, oh,
you know,
really?
That reminds me of another story. So at the end of the pig swim, the mixed teams were coming out and two mixed teams were basically like on top of each other. It was the ultimate winners. And then, you know, I think it was David and Ulrika. And it was really sketchy, super slippery coming out.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure you saw
it. I forgot how treacherous
was super, super sketchy. And they basically did like a daisy chain holding each other's hands. And the four of them just came up together. The first person got footing and they just helped each other up.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that isn't the spirit of Swim Run, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I think this race, you know, really reminds me of like why I love the sport. I kept telling Stefan, I was like, I'm probably going to tell you this like 1,000 times, but you know, it's been so cool to like watch this. And you know, for the whole team to invite us was really, really special.
It was,
you know,
yeah.
It reminds me, it's like, but I was, if I had forgotten, I've remembered.
I have remembered. Same. I was like, oh yeah, this race is no fucking joke.
Yeah, which, you know, our plan is to race it next year. We're trying to accumulate points now. Next year is going to be the 20th edition of the race.
Yep.
So, you know, Autola's planning some cool programming. It'd be cool to be a part of it and just kind of do this race on such a milestone.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad that we kind of came out because I could see just kind of like it getting fuzzy a little bit.
And like fuzzy in a way that it could have been a gotcha when we got, you know, I mean, we would have taken it seriously. We got this. We show up, be like, oh fuck, we're about to get rocked again. Like we have the past couple of years. But yeah, I mean, final thoughts. Honestly, just like part of me, the whole day was a little bit surreal, just kind of the whole experience of being on the other side of it. And the question that we were getting, or I was getting a lot, I'm sure you did too, is like, did you have FOMO? Like, what was it like to not race? And it like, I can't really articulate it very well, but like, it was just a very surreal day. The Ootalu team, you know, brought us in. We were one of them.
Yeah, we felt like part of a team.
It was a really from a professional standpoint, I was like, it was great working with you guys today. Yeah. I would love to work with you again because they are just cool yeah. people. They get it. You really felt everyone on the team was like, we love this race and what they're doing. And yeah. we're going to do the best that we can to
exactly.
to put out the
exactly.
best thing. And
was,
that is 100% what I
really,
got from
yeah, that. It really felt like, it's like, hey, we want to put on the best yeah. fucking race that we can. And what do we need to do that? Let's, you know, whatever was required. You know, we're moving boats to pick people up. We're like making repositioning buoys. Like yeah. that was kind of fun. It's like, hey, Chris, lean over the boat and hold onto this thing because you got to move it back like 50 meters because it's kind of shifted. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. let's go. You know, so all around was just a great experience to be there. So thank you for Atala for inviting yes. us to come out and do this. Certainly not something that was on our bingo card. But again, if it
Absolutely.
Was on your bingo card while you were watching this
send
race.
Send us if you got a bingo.
Let us know if we got stickers to send you in the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up for us is, you know, no
some
long.
More swim running.
Some running, not swim run reporting. Yeah. We'll be swim running in the next couple of months. With that, we'll be signing off from the Comfort Inn at Orlando Airport the day before we fly back to reality.
Absolutely. Start our... get back into the day-to-day life.
To be jet lagged as
hell yeah. Over and out. Did it.
Fika time.
Fika time.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a wet rating or review since that's the best way to help other people discover the show and the sport of swim run.
Check out our website, lowtideboys.com, that's boys with a Z, for swim run resources, including gear guides, tips, how-to videos, and so much more. Make sure to check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, send us a DM or email us at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run and other activities.
Lots of activities.
Lots of activities.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
Then a run.
And then a swim.
Then another run.
Then another swim.
Then run some more.
Just keep going.
Let's go.
And then stop at some point because, you know.
And fuel. Don't forget to fuel.
Gotta fuel too.
Of course, yes.